And welcome to Hassan Jaffer's astrology show. Welcome to your favorite astrology program. Well, Mercury is retrograding, so you can always expect some of these communication problems. And so our program is All in the Stars, and this is Jaffer, your astrologer, live from Toronto, Canada. Now, normally we have our host, Ingrid Greer, and she'll be coming back around the 15th of August. And our studio is allocated in Paradise, California, with Dawn Monitoring System here. And we welcome Zane, and she's the one who's going to be our host today.
Welcome, Zane. How are you?
Hi, Zane. So this is our first time you're doing this with an astrologer, actually.
Yes, it's my first time. I have a lot of questions.
what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about some sort of politics, and we'll also talk about some we will analyze all the different, some of the main world leaders, what's happening in the world. And then we'll take the calls also. And the number to call, by the way, for a free analysis is, you're welcome to call 1-877-876-5277 from anywhere in the United States. And from Canada, you can call 1-530-876-3223. Well, then I'll leave it up to you for all the questions that you'd like to have for astrology, for relationships, and how much of it is predestined, how much of it is free choice, what's happening around the world, when is the chaos going to end, all these questions we'll talk about. I'm sure it'll be very much interesting for the listeners as well.
So you have all the magical answers, that's what you have. You're the expert, and I have a lot of questions, because to the average person, astrology means let me open the paper and check my sign and see what, you know, going to happen next week, and that's really not good enough. We should know a lot more, and the person to best explain that to us is you. You should tell us exactly what does astrology mean, you know, in a nutshell.
Well, you know, just the words themselves. Astro is a star, of course, and lo is the knowledge of the stars. But the main thing which I found, one of the things pioneered many years ago, was that the three things are destined. The first one is your experience. We're all born with certain experiences, and there is nothing we can do not to consider. Like we are supposed to have those experiences, even if it's a prophet. And when those experiences happen, and how long will they last? So three things. Like I wrote about Princess Diana 45 days before it happened. She had to be careful of free access to head and spine. But I didn't say that she'll actually die, because only God can say that. And by the way, you know, all these lines on the hand, they are really caused by your thinking. The hand that you write with is the only thing which affects them. And prayers directly affect your thinking.
Now, I have to stop you right there. I always wondered, people say your lines change every day. Is that true?
Not every day, actually.
Not every day.
I'm sure there must be some things that we don't see.
Sometimes
we are so imperceptible.
I'm kind of hoping they change every day.
The hand that you don't write with does not change at all. And but the hand that you write with, because you're thinking, your conscious thinking, that is what is creating all these lines. So the more neurotic the person is, the more lines they have. Now, women.
Oh, wait, I think I should leave for this. I shouldn't be here for this. Okay.
But really, it's very important. You know, there's a very strong difference in men and women's hands. You'll find that women's lines have a lot of lines.
I should hope there should be a difference between them,
yeah. Yeah, and the lines, and they're, but the thing is, like, maybe the other ones who are driving them so crazy, but like, but they have so many lines, and because of the children, because all these things that affect them. Now, if a woman has a clear hand, she's an exceptionally clear-headed woman. If a man has a clear hand, it's quite normal. But if he has lots of lines, he's truly neurotic. For a woman, it's quite normal. Because it's really important to establish what is normal.
See, just from that little bit of information, the next time I meet someone, I'm going to be like, you know, could you flip your hand over things? I'd just like to, you know, I'd like to make sure how clear-headed you are.
You know, one thing which is very important for the leader is one of my books on palmistry. It's called Revelations of the Hand. And the French version is coming. It's called Revelation Parlement. And many of these leaders, like the Pope, for example, as soon as he did like this, I could see his hand, and I said, he's not going to change anything at all, because his brain line was totally joined to the lifeline. Now, we should also educate our listeners a little bit, because it's quite easy. It's not really that difficult to get the essence of it. The line that goes all around the thumb is called the lifeline, and the one that goes just above that is called the headline. Now, in your case, as you can see, it's completely separate, just like mine. This indicates you definitely are not a subservient housewife. And
so let's not get into that. That's a whole other show.
It's a very independent, that's right. But there's so important incompatibility. You have a woman who's like that, and she gets involved with somebody, for example, who really wants you to follow everything like a legal
act. Well, why would you get involved with somebody like that? See, I see.
But you would know that.
I would know that instantly. You can tell something like that. I think you can tell quite earlier on in a relationship, before it even becomes a relationship.
Yeah, but many people get involved. But this is like so important. Now, in your case, you will actually speak your mind, because your brain is separate. It's like Bill Clinton is born with that. Many leaders are born with that. Oprah is born with a headline totally separate from the lifeline. That's why she breaks the rules. But when it's mine, those are the ones I feel really sad for. Like many women, for example, get involved with somebody, and that becomes a bit more like a follower. However, I mean, for a man, it's a very good quality for it to be separate. And, you know, when they make their rules, now, of course, it always gives them a problem with authority. It's like speeding tickets. You won't get parking tickets. You only get speeding tickets with that sort of thing.
Oh, I get out of speeding. But a brain line. I have no problem getting out of speeding tickets.
But the headline is completely joined. Most people wouldn't even get a parking ticket. I mean, it's totally boring. I mean, can you imagine they're crossing every time from the light, look to the left, look to the right, even at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Now I'm looking at my hand and I'm realizing I hardly have any lines, and I'm actually very happy. I'm just thinking, good, I'm with your hand.
Which is exactly my point. But I'm saying, for example, I mean, I've gone to a lot of. This thing on this live channel, it's supposed to be on a feminist channel, and this radical feminist was interviewing me, and she was really idolizing me, putting me in a pedestal, and I was feeling so embarrassed, till I said that women have more lines on the hand, and it's not because they think more, but they think more uselessly.
And she said, no, I can't even believe I'm hearing this.
And she said, what? Do you realize what you just said? I said, what? She said, do you realize every feminist in the country would be calling to contradict what you just said? And I said, so should I change my perception of truth because of that? So she said, do you believe in equality? I said, of course not. So what explained? I said, well, you know, there's no, first of all, you haven't said between two men and two women. She said, Hassan, I'm talking about men and women. I said, no. And she said, well, explain. I said, you know, we have real IQ tests. In astrology, we believe in everybody being totally, totally unique. No two men are alike, no two women are alike. How can two men and women be completely alike? I mean, there's no such thing as even twins being alike. So I don't know what you're talking about. I said, do you believe in equal opportunity? Loaded question, no. Just live across Canada, live channel. I said, to some extent. I said, well, let me tell you, if there is, if you just talk about this equality, if somebody was cruel, if it was a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, would you really want them to become a doctor? Or if somebody has mongoloid, it's Down syndrome, do you really want them to become in charge of that tree? Of course, you've got to take it with some aspect. But the main thing is, the reason I'm saying that Benham, Constance M. Jackman, and Carroll, two of the best psalmists, they were all men, and they wrote only for men. In their book, it says, if you have lots of lines in your hands, you are neurotic. But I'm saying it doesn't apply to women. It only applies to men. I'm doing them a favor.
It doesn't sound like you're doing them a favor. To me, it sounds like you're saying that most of the time when you look over and you look at a woman's hand, you see a lot of lines, and to you that means that...
She's quite normal. You almost said the neurotic. I didn't.
I almost said it. I didn't say it.
But if it's a man's hand, he would be neurotic. And it's very important to understand. Because every little thing...
You know what? There is a very big difference between...
And your hand. But your hand is more like... you think more like a man. And coming from me, by the way, is a compliment. That's why a few lines... And you don't just honestly get into all kinds of gossips and everything so that it's very important to clarify these aspects.
Well, women can't help it. They fall into that trap very easily.
But it's interesting that leaders always have, a lot of them have brain lines separate. So my point was, when you see these politicians who are, for example, for 30 years, they are still doing the same negotiations and all that.
Right.
You need people who have brain lines separate, like Clinton. He broke a lot of tradition. He brought the Middle East the closest to peace than anybody else. Whereas if you look at Bush's chart, it's totally joined. In fact, while we are on pharmacy, it's such an interesting topic, I just want to show you one of the pictures, and you can see yourself so clearly look at Bush's hands, you can see all the fingers are going towards the first finger, like a little dictator, but the little finger is completely isolated. That shows how you communicate your feelings.
See, from now onwards, I'm definitely...
The person is completely not in leader's aspect at all. He's completely isolated. Like, he's not in that aspect. He cannot relate to people at all.
So as most leaders...
He does have leadership aspect in the sense that if somebody else has written his speech, he's able to deliver it quite forcefully. That's right, and... stick to his guns and all that, but he's on the right path and all. And he has Mercury in Leo. He's a Cancer, actually.
Is he?
Yes, but Mercury is the sign of Leo. In fact, like you. See, your best asset is your public communication. He has that aspect. He is actually quite a good speaker. As I said, if somebody else likes his
speech. He's a great speaker.
Yes. But Clinton has more finesse. Also has Mercury in Leo. And but the brain, this little line completely separate. But you see, the brain line is totally joined.
There's a difference between being a great communicator and being a great leader.
Absolutely. And the person, you see, when the brain line is joined, they're very conservative, and they really, that to me is sort of that chauvinistic aspect, you know, when they just stick to their old-fashioned values and all that. So it's so important. I wish they chose leaders based on that. Like athletes, top athletes, the brain line would be totally separate. I was watching
this. How do you choose leaders based on that, though? How could that be your...
We are developing that. Oh, we are doing that.
Is that what we're working on?
In my 4 or 5 years.
But now I know for a fact that if I ever meet someone, I'm going to be like, can you please turn your hand over? I'd like to take this. I'm getting to know a lot, you know, about the
like, for example, for stock market, like your hand is a gambler's hand, brain hand being so separate from the lifeline. If it was joined, you see, if you lose some money, for example, you'll just get up and keep on going. You won't even think twice about it. But if somebody has brain lines joined, first of all, it makes the person much more bold, much more generous, much more, not wasteful, but they are a bit sensitive also. And because they have confidence and the ability to always get more. It's a very optimistic aspect.
That's definitely
But that attitude is something you've got to be born with. Like you have Mercury in a fire sign. Now, by the way, here's the, I'll come back to astrology now. Each sign has a certain need that reflects in us. For example, Aries is a need for action.
Right.
Taurus is a need for stability. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play 12 different types of music to get you an idea. So when we are talking about action, now this is the sign of Aries. If you think of Aries and the action. So that's the action, impulsive, impatient, when they want something, when they're right away. There's confidence, sudden burst of energy. And then you have Taurus.
And what is that?
Taurus is...
What does that signify?
All old-fashioned values and history and old movies and...
That would describe a lot of my Taurus.
Very nostalgic and...
What a beautiful
song. Isn't it? Those are the old fashioned Taurus values, old time chivalry. And now, Gemini, I have what Bloody Darren is saying. Now, there's a need for intellect stimulation. It's a bit more flighty. That's right. This is one of them.
They're the
pickle ones. Absolutely. Now, I was trying to find number 4 for you. I might have...
Now, the way you're describing an Aries, you're describing a Taurus, so you're describing a Gemini. But don't you find sometimes, you know, when you read a description underneath your sign, I read it and you go, oh, yeah, that describes me, but, you know, I'm not like that. And I'm not
absolutely, like, because there's so many different planets. You see, like, up your Cancer, but your Mercury... was in Leo. Your Venus was in Gemini. In terms of Gemini sign for communication. So in terms of love matches, you're not like a Cancer at all. You're very independent. Communication is very important. If a person has a soothing voice and emailing or talking to them till 2 o'clock in the morning, for example, these are all the Gemini type of things. That is the love aspect for you. Does that seem to make sense?
Somewhat, yeah. Well, that clears up when I'm reading a description about myself, and I'm thinking, I'm not like that. That's
now, Leo, by the way, but it's in Mercury, because Mercury is communication.
So basically, what you're really saying is there's a sign before you and a sign after you, and you'll probably have some...
There are 10 different planets, but like Mercury indicates your communication. And your sun sign is only what they talk about in the horoscope magazine. Now, your Mercury and Venus may be in that sign, but they may be in a different sign. For example, the Leo aspect is this energy. It's a bit like that action type of Aries, but it's more dramatic, more theatrical.
Who are some famous Leos? Tell me.
Now, this is actually Michael Jackson's song, as you know.
Yeah.
And Billie Jean. He has Mercury in Leo like you, and Venus in Leo. And he's very shy. He's a Virgo, till he comes out on a stage, and then he's after the dynamic person.
See, if I describe myself,
part,
I'm shy.
Now, when you think of that, there are certain areas, this is the area of fame in your chart. And I'll synthesize this whole thing together later on. What's the cure of depression? It's one I shall deal with all these topics. So that's the Leo part. Whatever you have, if somebody has Venus in Leo, like Nicole Kidman or Tom Cruise or Sylvester Stallone.
Leos, right?
Absolutely. But it's not just a Leo sign. This is a Venus in Leo. They'll wear silk shirts, for example, or gold and, very gaudy type taste also. And then you have the number six. Now, this one, you don't have that. It's sort of a pathos. It has sort of a sad quality to it. That's a Virgo aspect. It comes out a little later on. Here's a Libra quality.
Very balanced.
And all about love, and each one describes a certain need within us. This is a need for cooperation, to live in harmony.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. Exactly opposite to violence and confrontation. And this is peaceful surroundings, beautiful fashion, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry. So that's the love story. And then here is the same love story, but with a bit of a Scorpio thrown in. Love. The next words are very Scorpio. Did you hear that? Never let me go. I mean, there's such a sort of fatalistic aspect of never let me go. That's a Scorpio theme. Now, the Scorpio itself. Yeah, they can be, yes. Now, here's that same one. Now, this one is also a Libra theme, by the way. What? You remember that, right? Pure Libra theme, again.
Really?
Yeah. When you think we're doing, just hugging a person, you're doing a nice ball, So that's the falling in love. That's, again, a Libra theme. Then you have the Scorpio theme. This is Foster Papetti saying that. The vows of love we make for live until we die. And they mean it literally. Like all or nothing attitude. If it's Mercury, then it's in communication like that. If it's in love, Venus in Scorpio, it becomes a love magic.
See, I would never think that music would describe a sign.
And nobody has done that before.
No, and it's very interesting.
And
when you really think about it, you know what you do? You close your eyes and you think of someone you know that particular
really,
sign.
Yeah.
And you think of that person and you relate that music
yeah.
to that person and
absolutely.
Instantly you feel it. And you know.
Now here's a 9-7, I'm calling it. 9 is a Sagittarius theme along with that Libra. The same love story, but a bit more authentic and... with a bit more feeling to it. And if I take it a bit forward.
Is it Sagittarius?
Yeah, there's Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, if you think of, that's pure Sagittarius. That's deep, like a communion with God.
I know somebody who's a Sagittarius, and this just doesn't seem to fit their personality.
Oh, the pure Sagittarius. No, this is a pure Sagittarius, for example. And we are back with an astrology program. That's interesting. That's a pure Sagittarius. Now, here's another Sagittarius. This is one side with the deep philosophical reflection. This is like a Sagittarius and Capricorn thrown in. Because
okay.
Capricorn gives a deep, it's like cello or bass sitar, for example.
A sitar, yeah. That I guess.
So the Capricorn part becomes more a bit like cello, as I said, or there's a deep feeling system. And then 11th is this one is a bit more like an Aquarius, like a scintillating quality to it. But they are more, Aquarius is more of this space age, you know, music, etc. Now let me show you the number 12 music. This is the last sign of Pisces, sign of empathy, compassion, feelings, sensitivity. But pathos, not self-pity. And everybody has all of these signs somewhere in their chart. There are 12 houses. Wherever you have sadness in your chart, you have this music. So that's my next point.
Well, I hope I don't have this music in my chart.
You'll have it in some area, whether it's in love or... Now, this is also Pisces, but it's also Aries. And I'll show you exactly where, when it turns. There's a polka, actually, by with Monty called Chardet. Now, this violin piece, beautiful, you know, that's a Pisces theme. You see how different it is from Aries and Leo theme?
Well, every single sign has...
completely different quality.
Completely different quality, completely different song representing...
Now this one, as it goes forward... And then it starts with this polka and becomes completely Aries. There's Aries. So from pioneer to poet, it's completely different. Now, let me show you three, I wrote an article called How to Lead a Balanced Life. How to satisfy your 12 most important needs. So the first one, Aries, is a need for action. And you all have, everybody has it somewhere in your life. In your chart. Wherever you have Aries, whether it's, you know, if it's in your husband, you'll marry somebody who's dynamic, confident, like women who have Libra rising, very beautiful, very feminine type.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be attracted to men who are confident, who are a bit chauvinistic, fast drivers. That's Aries thing. So their need for stability is a Taurus, all the old-fashioned values. And you need to have this at some point, you know, like whether you have real estate, land, property, something tangible. The need for intellectual stimulation is a Gemini thing. And,
really? A Gemini?
No, Gemini is absolutely for communication. It rules the sign. It's a sign of communication, that's right. That's why many linguists are born with that. And it's a very versatile sign, actually. And it just doesn't have too much substance. Like it's not a sign of wisdom, you say. And the sign of Cancer, you know, when you think of Rudolph the Reindeer, like that type, or, you know, Twinkle, child singing that, or the home, the family, when you think of that, that's the Cancer aspect. It's a nurturing sign. And everybody needs that. We all need that, whether it's Mother's Pizza or a family get-together, for example. It's why it's emotional security.
Okay.
The need for dramatic, the theatrical side, that aspect, which gets you the fame, something which you love so much. And everybody has that. Something you can be proud of. And like in your case, for example, it's part of your personality. So your personality is dramatic and theatrical. That's your best asset. That's why if you're feeling down, first thing you've got to do is make sure your hairstyle is in Yorkville and get the best hairstyle, for example.
I have to find out where there's a party going on and get all dolled up and ready, and then I'll be fine.
That's it, exactly.
That's it. I need to crawl out of my
And tent. You cannot let yourself go like that. Luckily, no, you're in perfect shape. Could you imagine if you were like 40 pounds overweight or something?
I wouldn't leave my house.
No, that's right. It would really, really affect
my personality.
Because your personality is your best asset.
Right.
And the Virgo side is more for, it's a wonderful sign of perfection, but also the trade, and to be of service something, to learn to have some trade.
Oh.
And of course the organizing ability, that's all part of the Virgo theme. The Libra is where you seek the balance, seek the relationship, the love, the need for love. And so the need for perfection was Virgo. And it's interesting, it's right next to the side of you which can be, you know, get really high. When you're proud of something, that's the area that you're most critical of. So in your case, the most critical area would be your own personality. That, oh, you know, this is not correct, this is not correct, I've got, you know, 2 ounces more, for example. Like any of these things. So that's the best way to find out where that area is. And so the need for love and the need to cooperate, need to live in peace, that's the Libra side. The need for, and then he has to find a mission in life, to experience life in situations, like all or nothing attitude, that's the sign of Scorpio. And then to travel, the sign of, you know, for philosophy, to interact with foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign people, foreign cultures, that's the Sagittarius theme. What we are doing right now, this mass communication, the whole world can listen to our program, for example,
right.
And discussions about divine truth. This is these are all the philosophical and Sagittarius themes. Capricorn theme is to build, to achieve, and like long-range planning, etc. When people come like workaholics, the Aquarius theme is to innovate, is to break from tradition completely, and all exactly opposite to each other. Leo is a dramatic, theatrical side. Virgo is much more shy. Sagittarius is very much outgoing, etc. Where Capricorn is much more conservative. Aquarius is totally unconventional. And Piscean theme, so the new technology to innovate. That's the Aquarius theme. Pisces is the need for the empathy and compassion. When you feel for, you know, for those who are downtrodden, and you go near the ocean, near the lake, near the water. So these are the 12 different themes. Now, let me show you what is the cure for depression.
Oh, there's a cure?
Absolutely. Three things. Something to do, something to be proud of, and philosophy and travel. Three things to do, you'll never be depressed. For example, so this is, the other things, the action. Whether you go to a gym, or you get a car to drive somewhere, for example, any aspect of action, something to do, and then something that you're proud of. That's a dramatic strategy. Everybody has that show-off area in some area of their life. And then the third theme, which is, you know, when you go to foreign countries and foreign lands, and like the beginning of our show, you know, that part. Actually, the first part of this one, the first part, this is much more of that Sagittarius theme, like a Spanish theme, you know. There's nothing which takes you out of depression. But what we are discussing right now, actually, because it's not man-made, it's all part of the divine truth, completely takes away. Now, let's talk about compatibility, for example. Like, two people are compatible or not. Now, let me take somebody whose attitude towards love matters is like this. They get involved with somebody who's like this.
So basically, you're saying two different signs. Is that what you're comparing?
Two completely different.
Like, when we go in there and we look and we see, oh, what's his sign and what's my sign and are we compatible? And I don't
Absolutely,
know.
Yeah. By the way, we forgot, you know, the number to call if you would like to have a free reading is 1-877-876-5227. And anywhere in North America, actually from States. And if you're calling from Canada, it's 1-530-876-3223. And we have different products, by the way. We have reports and we have Moon Magic. My Moon Magic makes anybody an astrologer in about 5 minutes. There's only one column that applies to you. And in that column, whatever number you see, you just leave the interpretation. Every month when Moon goes in your 12th house, you always get run down and tired. You know, Ali Khomeini of Iran. Now, I figured out his time of birth, exactly. Mm-hmm. Every time Moon was in Scorpio, it was part of his 12th house, he was always in jail.
Really?
Every time. Oh, it's amazing. 14 times I looked at, every time it's the same. So interesting. By the way, another thing, for example, Condoleezza Rice, her chart, she has this Mars and Scorpio, like just, or Saturn and Scorpio, like certain aspects of it. I shouldn't say demonic, you know, but they are almost cruel. Like, and of course, she's not married, she's not children, children and all that, so she can't really relate, there's no empathy and all. Like Olmert, you know, this fellow, this Israeli, I believe he's a prime minister right now, he's got Saturn Moon conjunction, he's born with that. It's complete, and when he was born, just like Bush, he's born with Saturn in the sign of Cancer. Cancer is a sign for family, home. Saturn is like a real restrictive theme. And it's very close to Moon. It's one of the signs of pathological depression. And because of him, thousands and thousands of families have been destroyed. Like, I mean, there's this excuse for these two soldiers. That's it. They should have probably just returned them, you know, but right in the beginning, but I mean, it's just an excuse. The planning is there, you know, to destroy the whole thing at the wrong time and push. And it'll backfire because Mercury is retrograding right now till 28th of July. You'll see nothing will come out of it at all. I guarantee you nothing will come out of it. They'll try the best and nothing will happen. 2-3 weeks, time will start fizzling out. What's interesting is certain generations, like, for example, you know, there was Age of the Golden Movies, the 20s, and Marilyn Monroe was also known that, and Charlton Heston,
right,
and Frank Sinatra, Humphrey Bogart, these kind of people. And then there was Age of Suffering, the 30s. And, you know, these many of these country singers are born of that. And if you see their words, and it's like, you know, my wife left me, my mistress not talking to me, I was slipping a banana peel. Like all the words, you know, this kind of thing. And but they are true master craftsmen. That whole age group, the blues generation. They always
right,
have the substance abuse, and Liz Taylor was born with that, and Johnny Cash was born with that, always wearing black, and black glasses, all that purple thing. And they had a lot of problems with the depression, actually. Very humble generation, exactly opposite to the Leo generation. When Neptune was in Leo, the age of the golden movies, the roaring lion, that's the Leo theme, and Neptune is the film industry. Every occasion they were dressed up, and you know, like Rockaster and all this, all the you know, the Liberace, for example, was from that generation.
Right, completely.
Yeah. I did it tried, actually. You know.
Did you, Liberace?
Yeah, when I gave him a thing, he said, thanks. He was such a nice person. He was actually a Taurus. Very, very nurturing. He helped so many people, actually.
Huh.
Very generous, that person, very nurturing. And then you have the romantic age group, is the 40s and 50s. Your parents are probably, your mother, I think, is from that generation. It's an extremely romantic generation. Yanni, Julio Iglesias, you're from that generation.
Okay.
And no generation more romantic than that generation, actually. Renaissance, when art and music thrived.
Hmm.
And Taj Mahal was made in fact, it was conceived as a monument to love. That was Neptune and the sign of Libra. And so that generation really responds to beauty. They idolized beauty, in fact. Whether it's their surroundings or the person. And then there was a crazy generation, the 60s age group.
You sure that wasn't the 70s?
No, the 70s was more for the South, actually. Oh. But the 60s generation were the real crazy, were the extreme aspect. That's what you guys you find right from the society bombers to, it's like, you know, these street women wearing a cross. Where you combine the sensuality with the extreme of that with the spirituality. Or for example, and because there's no sense of credit, many of these thrillers, so-called, that's from that generation. Real extreme, the black and deep burgundy, the colors, like the colors of Dracula, the color of blood. If you see their websites, always like that. To them, your mom's generation would be a very mushy generation.
Mm.
So these people want to do it. It's like hard rock.
Okay.
That's a 60s age group. And also, like Madonna was born of that. And she had many of the love scenes in the altar. When you're combining nudity with spirituality,
mm-hmm.
Michelangelo was born of that. So many of the, he came nothing but nude in the Sistine Chapel. Again, you're combining
right.
The two. Who is
right.
It was very sacrilegious. The 70s age group is the most actors and actors like Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman and Demi Moore and Sean Penn, Robin Wright Penn. They're all from that 60s age group. Very, very good actors, actually. Julia Roberts also from that age group.
From that same age group.
That's right. Now, 70s age group is like Queen Amidala. So it's a very, very philosophical generation. Abraham Lincoln was born with Neptune and Sagittarius, and so was Martin Luther King. And so that generation is such a... there's no generation that's more philosophical than that generation. Their ideas are others for the world, to help the masses. Very, very humanitarian age group. And then the 80s is this... When Venus is in, Neptune is in Capricorn, and that age, the 1 month predictions has been a major geological revolution from November 2008 onwards, and where you'll have the peace all around the world, but you'll also find like free energy, for example, where they use the natural forces and the windmills and all that to, for the sake of the humanity. It's a very practical type of generation. And the real modern generation, of course, is the 90s, the age group, where you have Neptune Aquarius. Actually,
mm-hmm.
There's another age group coming up in a few years, which is a Pisces, when Neptune goes into Pisces. Right now, smack in the middle of Aquarius. So the next few years,
what
you'll
happens
see all
when
the,
that happens?
In about 5-10 years, you'll see a great shift towards spirituality.
Oh.
And because this happens once in 165 years. Now, Uranus being in the sign of Pisces, I wrote about 2 years ago, it was actually about 6 months or a year before the tsunami, that the major tsunamis triggered the underwater earthquakes. And that was Uranus being the sign of Pisces. Pisces is the sign of ocean, and Uranus is the major upheaval. But I also said that a lot of musical genius is being born, even right now, till 2010. Now, in 17, I believe we had another tsunami. And so this is continuing.
Yes.
There's some major ones coming up, actually, before 2010. Till then,
really?
We have that day. But amazing technology coming up the next 2 years. You'll have holographic teachers, and probably you'll have holographic strippers before anything else, because that industry, unfortunately, is in the forefront of technology, and they have the money to actually use that. But, yeah, the virtual therapists, all that.
We have a lot to look forward to.
Now, in compatibility, as I said, as you can see, this would be such an amazing thing. Now, I'm developing a program where you have a key,
mm-hmm.
program with your horoscope.
Okay.
There are four light, little lights on it for intellectual, physical, emotional, etc.
Right.
And you have a little party of, let's say, 50, 100 people.
Oh,
as
this
you go
is
near a person,
great.
As you get near a person, you need to light up.
Wonderful. Where was this 10 years ago when
that's
I really
started?
That's
the program when it comes to all green. So that'd be such an amazing thing.
When it turns all green and, you know, you see him leaving, you have all the doors closed. You can't let him go, you know, because you found Mr. Right, right?
That'd be such an amazing
all
thing,
four
yeah.
lights.
But, you know, what's interesting is when people are very compatible,
mm-hmm.
they are, you know, sometimes they may not be, they're too comfortable with each other.
Right, won't it get boring at some
That's
point?
Right, yeah.
I would think it would get boring.
But if they do like each other, there's even a little bit of love, and they are compatible as well, and it's mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. Because the compatibility is
yeah, I don't think you want to look for 100% compatibility, because at some point that will get boring.
But it's really interesting when they start doing a lot of things together. I mean, that part is there for sure.
Oh, you know what they say, opposites attract.
Yes. But it's interesting, because we'll devote one whole show just for compatibility at some point. And like you see, there are basically four different elements of the call. First one is the fire signs, as you saw these dramatic theatricals, the Aries, Leo,
right.
and Sagittarius. If you have Mercury in that sign, then you communicate like that. That many orators are born with that. You have Mercury in Leo, I have Mercury in Sagittarius, and Hitler had Mercury in Aries.
Well, that's comforting.
That's not I that's just my way. But all three are fire signs. So it feels as if they have some kind of a hard time with God. In Leo, like you have, that gives the best intelligent leadership ability. Like the Prince is born with that. They're very, very good in this sense to bring out the best in people. And but it gives a bit of a delicate ego. So people can exploit that also.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Bush's case, so they say, you know, he's a Messiah or he's going to save them all, and he really starts believing that. In Sagittarius, it's more like the positive thinking, you know, with Dale Carnegie was born with that. With
really?
The American sign of Sagittarius, yes.
Hmm.
Now, by the way, you know, as far as a certain sign, the month of June and July, to that mid-July, was very, very stressful for the 60s age group. And this is slowly finishing, and it's interesting how many people, Bashar of Syria,
mm-hmm.
he's got a major action configuration still for another about 1 or 2 months. So once this aspect, major authority conflicts, so the danger is still there in his chart. It's been there from last year, actually. But Emily John of Iran is also on that age group. So they've been going through a lot of tension. And Nasrallah, Hezbollah's leader, he's one of that also. And, but he's also a scholar, you know. He's got Mercury in Virgo. But when it's close to Pluto, he's got some major danger aspect next week for me also. And, but, you know, it's really interesting that both Olmert of Israel and Iran's Emily John, they both have Mercury in the sign of Libra.
Oh.
And they both have Venus in Virgo, so they both really care for the poor, for the needy, and all these other aspects. But Olmert also has Saturn-Moon conjunction, which
okay.
almost makes a person a bit cruel, almost. Like, it completely hides all the emotions. Like, you'll hardly ever see him smiling.
Mm-hmm.
On his face, you hardly.
No, yeah.
Emily John, you'll always find him smiling. It's totally opposite.
Okay.
So this has to show the moon represents your face, your countenance, so on. So, but you know, it's good for in medicine, for example, or when you are you know, when you have to cut short the losses, get rid of all the people, don't care for what happens in their family and all that, that's unfortunately. So it does have the certain similarities between his chart and Bush's chart, actually, you know.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. But Bush's chart, everything is going down right now. And
I didn't even have to be a famous astrologer to say that. I could just sit there in my living room and tell you that.
Absolutely. But it really falls in the pattern. And you know, when the planets start coming down, you keep a very, very low profile. Mm-hmm. And you are in disgrace. You sabotage, you burn all the bridges and all that, you know.
Of course.
And unfortunately, you know, that is because this delicate ego aspect, it's amazing. Like there's no conscience, nothing. You see, but one of the things I predict is that every once in 246 years, Pluto goes into a certain sign, like Pluto is a sign of Sagittarius. Those predictions that I made in 1986, I wrote about change in Russia leading to end of communism, based on Pluto being the sun of Scorpio.
Oh.
And I said by November 1995, that will finish, and there'll be bases, U.S. bases formed in the Middle East, and which happened. And right after that, when it goes to Sagittarius, I said three things will change. First of all, there'll be mass communication all around the world. You'll be talking to everyone, and that's exactly what happened. Internet started in November 1995,
right.
Exactly as that. And also television from China, from Japan, completely broke every cultural barrier. And but based on that, I said there'll be major radical changes when it comes to religion, the judicial system,
mm-hmm.
and the educational system. So we have internet education, internet learning now.
Right.
We have universities all around the world. And you'll have 10 Berkeleys, for example, and you'll have virtual teachers very soon, actually.
Right.
And the modes of transportation is a major change going on. And the whole judicial system. Now, before it changes, there are radical changes in it.
Okay.
Now, Pluto, to me, well, for example, they go to extremes, like even in religion. It becomes such a strong fundamental aspect in every religion.
Mm.
In all religions,
and that
you'll find it radical. That's right. And then you'll find the essence of that coming up. You know, when you find the truth in every religion, for example, that'll come by November of 2008. That's when the peace will be there and the truth will be gone. And
looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Now, I made these predictions almost like 12 years ago.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I was reading through them before we started.
Yeah. And November 2008 onwards, when there are geological revolutions and artificial earthquakes, I believe they're already starting disasters, actually. And which Sester wrote about like 100 years ago. And but that's happening. So weather patterns, all the weather changing, the storms, all that. A lot of man-made things happening, actually.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that part. But there's some beautiful geoplastic things happening.
You tell us some good stuff instead of all the bad.
Well, the good stuff is, you know, one of the things was the Neptune when Jupiter was in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
I'd said last year. Actually, it was in Libra, and I said there'd be major peace treaties signed in between Pakistan and India. They were signed, and also. And right off that, I said that the oil price will go up. And it did.
It
will continue to about November, December, and after that it's gone. Last one, November, when Saturn, as soon as Jupiter moves into sign of Sagittarius, that's like mass exodus. But also fantastic for mass communication and immigration laws changing.
Oh.
See in Mexico what's happening,
right.
All of that.
Right.
It's perfectly, exactly. The whole system changing is coming up. And you can see, it's 10 years ago I wrote about that. And actually, Jupiter is a 12-year cycle.
Yeah, you're going to remind me as soon as the show's over, I'm going to get the lottery numbers from you.
Right? You know, you've got to have it in your chart also. That you see, there's a 12-year cycle, which is Jupiter. There's an 84-year cycle, which is Uranus. And there's a Mars-Jupiter aspect. And which can happen when all three things combine, then it becomes like a real windfall scene. Like those who have Jupiter aspect of Venus, for example, is one of the signs of wealth. They're always extremely wealthy. And people are born in wealth with a Jupiter-Venus aspect.
Oh.
And so there are many, many times. See, what I do is when I look at a person's chart, I look at the highest potential. That's all I'm interested in. So as you know, I'm an engineer by profession. I play almost every musical instrument. I'm an artist. And like when I take one job, I play in the speech language, as you know. So all these things combined make me what I am. Because from music point of view, there's a certain sensitivity. The minute a person starts speaking, you should be able to see something in their voice. You have to feel that. Especially the pathos, you should be able to see it right away. And the art, the visual aspect, and physically, you've got to be like an athlete to be a really good astrologer. because athletes always see the highest potential. They don't just give up. Normal people would give up. They would push themselves beyond normal. That's why I'm useless with people who are sick. I want to give them a kick. Come on, get up. Now, how can you be 40 kick? I don't even know where my OHIP is. So I feel if I get sick, I really deserve it. I get really, really upset with myself. So I don't allow, I condition my body.
Of course. I mean, it's not just physical, it's mental. I mean, you have to push yourself. If you're not feeling well, you have to get yourself out of
it. But see, to have outlets, a lot of what I do depends on cheers. When I feel sad, I play the bamboo flute. And there's certain rags you can play, you only can play when you feel that sadness, you feel the pathos. But instead of feeling sorry for yourself, you need to think of somebody else and change that into compassion. And that's a very, very important aspect. Or somebody who has a lot of physical energy, for example, and they use it in sports. Many of the boxers would be like criminals if they didn't have outlets. So it depends on how you use that outlet, of course. But it's interesting, people who have Mercury in the sign of Libra, they do bring about a lot of peace. Like Carter, for example, is a Libra with Virgo planet. So even though he won the Peace Prize for the Peace Prize, but he had Mercury in the sign of Virgo, the sign of efficiency, and the first thing he did, he cut down the speed limit, cut down the thermostat, so even though that's all that Virgo part showing. In this case.
Really?
Yeah, it's just really interesting how these things show up. The people who are in danger are the royal family, Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, of course, this year. In fact, the whole Age of the Golden movies, they're also quite old, of course, but the hard aspect right from now to about next July, that whole aspect is, I'd said from last year.
When you say they're in danger, what do you mean?
Well, you know, the hard, you start thinking about from last year.
Oh, health-wise.
That's right. But also in the monarchy, in the Middle East, I said one of the reasons I feel there's going to be major peace next year, from November onwards, is I think there's a major shift in the monarchy. Because if it wasn't for them, the U.S. Army wouldn't be even there. Because it was managed to protect them almost. That's part of it. That's what the FCC used an excuse, and all kinds of course, oil and domination, other things are there. But King Fahd passed away, and I'd written about that also, that's Leo theme.
Right.
Even the Egyptian, the excavations, they found these gold mines. That was the Leo theme as well. And it's quite interesting things happening. But the main thing is this inspirational aspect of the artistic side combined with the highest aspect of technology. So when everybody has, see, this mass communication is going to revolutionize the way we communicate. So internet blogs are becoming much more popular than actual TV. They get the real news from there because you certainly don't get it from the most trusted name, as you know, don't get it from the internet. So that is it. So by November 2008, we still have a lot of time. Like 2 years,
right.
So there are tremendous, tremendous changes coming up there. And
forward to them.
When you project yourself,
they're also
visually,
positive, so I'm definitely looking forward to them.
Absolutely, yeah. So they're really, really positive. The only thing which is very dangerous is I predicted about simultaneous translation, but also that you have digital actors, and like for example, and digital singers. Like for example, you can digitize the voice, or just like a synthesizer, I can put the finale, for example, in my computer. I can put a piece together and have the Philharmonic Orchestra play that for me. Because you have the of every instrument of the Philharmonic, so it'll actually play, just like a symphony. And exactly the same playing it. Same thing, imagine you have Elvis's voice singing a brand new song. Or we have, visually, we have Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley and Nicole Kidman and Brad Pitt in a new movie completely.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
But the other thing which would be very interesting, but also I think would be dangerous because of the military use of it, is the voice, when they can take anybody's voice.
And, yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, the army leaders issuing all kinds of things. But the way it becomes really scary to me is, hi, open the overthrow, it's mommy.
Oh.
And it's a man thing. Can you imagine? Now, that would be dangerous.
That would be very dangerous.
Yeah. So these things, and they are coming up, those technologies. You know, there's a lot of the positive negatives to all of these things. But luckily, I'm a very positive person, actually.
Yes.
You see, I was looking at Africa, for example, in the, I believe it's 2030 or 2035, there were some years which were very dangerous for the Earth. And but you can take the worst configuration in the sky. But if the whole Earth is going to be destroyed, it has to apply to everybody. So there are some negative aspects happening, like right now, for example, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. All of them are going through a major 7-year period. They'll encounter a lot of delays. but it's a test of your organizing skills. Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn went through that last two and a half years. There's a lot of struggle, a lot of delays, a lot of hassles in their life. So many hard
things. It's over for them now.
That's right.
Okay, so all of you guys out there, you know, you're clear now. Everything is good.
So this year is a fantastic year, actually, for Cancer, for actually even for Scorpios, actually. There's a major new cycle, but there's also so all the water signs. Let's just give a brief thing because we only have like 5 minutes left. Aries, Leo, and actually Aries and Sagittarius, Gemini, and Aquarius, and Libra. All of them are getting fantastic and sort of focus and concentration to be able to finish what they start. So that's something they all lack today, being able to do all that. And the sign of Taurus, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, and Pisces, they have a very strong luck element right through about November of this year. When it's because these signs are not the most optimistic, but they become like Sagittarius because of Jupiter's theme. They become more optimistic, and many options from foreign countries start coming up. But this new cycle that I'm talking about, they really have to see for the next 10 years what they want to do. Like, for example, in your case, you're Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And till about October, November, you have some major opportunities coming up in your chart with that Jupiter theme. In fact, a radio show is also even the topic of astrology.
Right.
Is a Sagittarius theme.
Well, I've learned so much. In this 1 hour, I'm going to be more than just that person that, you know, looks through the paper and says, oh, what's my sign? I'm going to
know. It's so interesting, though, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting.
Like, as soon as I put that, if I put this music, this part, and if it's a love matter, you know this person is extremely romantic, deep sensuality. Now, this is also the chart of Casanova, by the way, who also played violin. But he was so idealistic, so romantic. He kept going from one to the other to find that they'd have a match. Very different from Don Juan. He was actually the best friend of all these women, too. He was like in counseling, guiding, helping people, etc. These are people who need the ocean, the water. That's the only sign that can transcend the human values and love to me at the soul level. And but if you have that Taurus theme, remember that Martin theme that I said?
Mm-hmm, yes.
As soon as you hear that music, even now you feel so comfortable, isn't it?
Right.
Like all the old-fashioned values coming. If you go to a restaurant, some of that music
and they're playing this, yes, of course.
You'll feel it's not a fly-by-night type of place.
No.
So that aspect is, and you see the sign of Taurus, a very romantic sign. And the women, they love, you know, all the Victoria's Secrets and the color pink and all the old-fashioned values, all the Baroque paintings you'll find for the Taurus theme.
Very interesting.
So as you know, so if somebody has like this, like that Aries theme, as I said, so they need somebody who's action-oriented for sure. So your communication, like this, and your personality.
Is that Leo?
This is a Leo theme.
This is
right.
A Leo theme.
So as soon as you enter a room, this is the aspect.
Yeah, this is every Leo that I, you know.
That's it. And you can see, I mean, you certainly stand out in a crowd. And it's quite obvious. And, I mean, you'd make yourself. Either way, you know,
I make sure I get everyone's attention. I walk in, I say, hey, what? Where is everybody?
But luckily, because you're a Cancer, it's not an egocentric type of theme. So it's nice to add the right touch to the person.
That's Leo. Isn't that Leo? Right.
But so the Cancer, your quality in the chart, so you need to be, you cannot work in a tiny little laboratory. You need to be with the public. Not like guest of a job. You need actual oriented type of
thing. Yeah, I'm not going to be in that little cubicle thing.
Absolutely,
everybody leave me alone. That wouldn't work.
That's right, yeah. So, by the way, some other charts I was looking at.
Yeah, we were looking at Oprah's chart, right?
Yes.
And that was very interesting.
Oprah says, now, I had written my newsletter.
Especially right now, as she's, you know.
So, by the way, I had written my newsletter, and anybody who wants to subscribe free of charge to the newsletter for now, they can write to Stargaze, Stargaze, at astrotrends.net. And so if you go to astrotrends.net under newsletters, you can just subscribe and just certainly send me the free newsletter. Has the world politics, what's going on, and make some head tail of what's going on in the world, and all this confusion, and the actors and actresses, and actually Jolie's chart, and Brad Pitt's chart, and Anderson. It's quite interesting. It's very, very good analysis. Now, in Oprah's chart, I had written that this July, August, till about next July, she's got a major astrology conflict. She'll be extremely angry, very easy on this transit. People have that kind of this transit, but I don't think it's that. It is an aspect of mediator problem, also some quite often any surgeries, etc. She's going through that aspect, but it's more the frustration which creates the heart problem. She doesn't want it. So with her, with this fellow who she was involved with, and I think that's the main aspect in her chart. But the planets are still going up in the chart, and so she's going to be in the public for quite some time, actually. Now, she has Mercury in the sign of Aquarius, the sign of mass communication, and it's trying to Jupiter in the chart, which is exactly mass communication. It's like a preacher. Plus, her brain line is totally separate from lifeline. So she doesn't really care for other people's opinions. There's a lot of confidence. You know, the curious phenomena, there's two things I notice about these people. First of all, they tend to procrastinate a lot, mainly because they work best under stress.
Right.
They need a lot of challenges.
Procrastinating was a positive thing. Because, you know, when you were younger, they always told you, don't procrastinate. It's very bad.
That's right. But see, you need a lot of challenge to function.
But some people work better that way. They work better under stress.
Absolutely.
Right. So they leave challenge. Everything till the end, and it's all piling up, and the deadlines are right there, and you're saying, like, oh, I've got to do this.
They become fully lethargic, so the stress builds up to a crisis point, and they go like a real steamroller.
Right.
And so that is a challenge aspect. And by the way, for defense, like, for example, whether in an army or they are forwards and the defense, like in a hockey team or baseball or basketball, anything, the people who are daring adventures or the forwards always have green lines up the lifeline in the best team. But those who are playing defensive roles, their green line will be totally joined. I was in the Raptors game, and I was right in front, and I noticed this one person who kept on scoring the goal as soon as he got it. He didn't wait for anybody. And later on, because he was right there, and I said, you know, you're definitely the best player for them. I said, I bet you anything, your headline is totally separate. He said, what do you mean? I said, let me see your hand. As soon as he showed me the hand, I showed it exactly like yours. Brain line totally separate. I said, see it. He said, how could you tell? I said, because you were the only gambler there. They were like 10 points behind, only 5 minutes left. Oh, sorry, 30 points behind, 10 minutes left, and not one of them was trying to score the 3 points. Whereas Chris, and I asked him his name is Chris Bosch, and he apparently is the best player. And I told him he'll get the next 2 years, he'll get the contract for sure, and he did. He just signed a contract for the next 3-4 years again.
Great.
And same brain line being so completely separate. So as you can see, the astrology can be used in so many, many different ways. For sports selection, for world politics, for everything, you can start using it. Absolutely. Yeah. And, so we had a great time with you.
This is great. I feel like, you know what, this was the best crash course I could ever imagine. I feel like I could, you know, I could do this, definitely.
Thanks.
Now I can go to your website and understand it better.
Absolutely. So we have the end of our show, and we hope you had a great time. And I thank my host, Zane, of course, and we hope you'll join us again sometime.
Thank you for having me.
And if you want to write to us, you can email us at stargaze@astrotrends.net, and you can also give us a call at 416-497-9000. And thank you for listening. We hope you will tune in next Wednesday again, and for another segment of your favorite astrology show, It's All in the Stars. And this is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer, and my host, Zane. Thanks, until next time, wish you all the best.
Thank you. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.